miles of black ribbon on the lone highway. Men turn into boys on the lone highway. Rest up creeps and thrive on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Alright, Revolution Radio, it's Saturday. And it's time for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show with your host, Scorpio. Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Let me pour another.
Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is Saturday, September 12th, 2020. Yes. The Lunatic Fringe, guys, here we are. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. The tide is turning. Yes, the tide is turning. Secrets are being revealed. And more people than ever are starting to realize that something is seriously wrong with our reality. Trust in experts, politicians, and our institutions are at an all-time low. At least, I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime, that's for sure. And, you know, corruption and malfeasance is ubiquitous in government and the institutions that supposedly keep our society running. So here we are, 19 years after 9/11. And now we face another 19, COVID-19. Yeah, guys, 19 years after 9/11, we got COVID-19. Yeah, you know, 9/11 was a massive use of trauma-based mind control, right? And, you know, 9/11, it happened in New York City, of course, and far away from most people's reality and lives. But with COVID-19, people are experiencing their own personal 9/11 every day with no end in sight. This is a nebulous enemy. Yeah. So, and you know, at least with 9/11, you know, there was a definite knowing of, okay, the trauma happened and then it ended. Right? With this one, we don't know. We don't even know when it began for sure. There's, you know, it's, who knows? It began sometime. It may have begun years ago for all we know. And we don't know when it might end. They keep moving the dates around, part of this, you know, strategy of confusion I keep talking about. And so, but in the meantime, you know, keep your mask on and don't socialize with other human beings. And whatever you do, don't go to a biker rally, guys. Don't do it. It's a super spreader event. So you got to be super scared. Yeah, and don't go to a Trump rally either. That's another super spreader. But riding on the streets, hey, no problem. Go for it, man. It's all good. And, you know, the official story of 9/11 has got to be the greatest conspiracy yarn ever spun, right? You know, like the granddaddy tale of bullshit. And let's not forget, there were 19 hijackers, guys. 19 hijackers, huh? That's interesting, isn't it? Just a coincidence. And of course, you know, 19 is contained within 9/11, only in reverse. Again, just a coincidence. No cause for alarm. Please continue shopping. So yeah, the biggest conspiracy yarn ever spun, right? 19 hijackers who were directed by some guy in a cave on a dialysis machine outsmarted the entire U.S. military and all of our intelligence agencies, too. Wow, this guy's like a super villain, huh? Like a comic book villain. So they took over four airplanes using deadly box cutters and executed aerial acrobatics that not even the most experienced pilots would have been able to accomplish. But never mind that. And then, you know, two planes allegedly crashed into two towers. But somehow three buildings magically collapsed, all at free fall speed, into their own footprint. But hey, such talk is just the rambling of a conspiracy theorist, right? Right. Yeah. So, you know, and then of course we've learned that these airplanes would not have been able to withstand the stress of these so-called corkscrew maneuvers before they supposedly crashed into the Pentagon. And if you guys recall, some of you may have heard, you know, I interviewed along with Mike Gatti, a retired, you know, airline pilot who flew for a major airline for his whole career. He told us flat out that those corkscrew maneuvers would have ripped the wings right off of the airplane, or it would have sent the airplane into sort of a tailspin that you wouldn't have been able to pull out of. So more fantasy passed off as reality, right? So yeah, you know, 9/11 really was a magic trick. A magic trick. And a trick of both technology and media deception. You know, even today, the exact method by which the towers were taken down and destroyed, it's not completely known. We got it narrowed down. I mean, there's like, what, three basic theories: the mini nuke theory, the directed energy weapon theory, and thermite, or a possible combination of the three. Those are the, you know, the most popular theories that remain after 19 years of people looking into this. But, you know, not since the Kennedy assassination has there been such a circling of the wagons and a unified voice coming from the media, you know, all trumpeting the same lies. You know, with the Kennedy assassination, it was a lone nut killed Kennedy. Oops, he's dead now too. So, well, end of discussion, nothing else to talk about. Dead men tell no tales, don't they, right? And then we had 9/11 with 19 lone nuts who crashed airplanes into the World Trade Center, supposedly. And question that story, you're not patriotic. End of discussion, baby, right? And so 19 years later, we have COVID-19. Stay at home or you're going to die. Okay? And you just might kill Granny too. So you better stay at home and don't even think about living your life. That's the narrative today. And now, you know, we face a new kind of controlled demolition. You know, a controlled demolition of small business, of the middle class, and of reality as we knew it. You know, instead of buildings being demolished, our reality as we knew it is being demolished by controlled demolition. And we're witnessing one of the greatest transfers of wealth and one of the biggest consolidations of assets is now underway. All hidden through the magic fear of coronavirus. We're all supposed to be afraid of that. And that's our reality. Yeah, so we have this invisible threat, right? This phantom menace. The phantom menace. It's everywhere. It's everywhere, but nowhere to be seen. There's a virus under every rock. And right now, a virus is being exuded from the person next to you with every breath they take. And as pretty much like human beings have been reduced to faceless bags of virus-infested flesh. I mean, in some ways, that's what they've done. Yes, faceless bags of virus-infested flesh. And it kind of gives a whole new meaning to the old Billy Idol song, Eyes Without a Face, right? Eyes without a face. Ain't no human grace, just eyes without a face. So yeah, you know, living your life and even the most mundane activity could end in your death. So stay at home and hide under a bed in a fetal position. It's all for your own good, don't you know? And, you know, here's the other thing that's so strange about the time we're in right now. We're in a time of great despair, but we're also in a time of great hope. I mean, new possibilities of reality are sort of starting to, you know, break through the dam. Little holes are being formed in this reality, and new ones are starting to pop through it. And, you know, many unintended consequences are at play now, too. You know, this golem that they've unleashed just might turn on them by forces they never imagined. It's possible. And, you know, the other thing is that a new spirit of the ages is coming. Yeah, a new spirit of the ages, and nothing can stop it. Nothing. They might be able to slow it down, but they can't stop it. You know, here we have many people questioning our current reality more than ever. More people are questioning our reality than ever. And so our controllers are now turning up the volume on their fear amplifiers up to 11. Yes, their amplifiers go to 11, not just 10. And, you know, here we are now. People are starting to wonder if living in a big city is worth it and whether or not it's even a smart thing to do. And who would have ever believed that, you know, New York City would begin to empty out, you know, the sort of the flagship city of the United States in a symbolic way, right? You know, not even after 9/11 did people start to empty out of New York City. You know, even after Manhattan became, you know, essentially an irradiated hazardous waste dump on 9/11, the place didn't empty out like it has now. And I don't know if you guys have watched any of these videos of just, you know, people walking around New York City. I watch them every couple of weeks just to monitor it. And, man, the place is a ghost town. Even on, you know, Fifth Avenue, one of the, you know, most famous shopping venues in the world, half the buildings are boarded up and closed. Who would have ever thought it? And the other thing that's interesting about our time right now is that the same old tricks that the cabal, or, you know, our hidden overlords, whatever you want to call them, the same old tricks, they're not working quite as well as they used to. And, you know, part of this new spirit of the ages is that secrets are going to be very, very difficult to keep, much more so than ever. And there's no stopping that. And, you know, here we have this mainstream media, or as Dave Gaherty called it yesterday on Giuseppe's show, the garbage media. I like that. I think it's very descriptive and accurate. You know, the garbage mainstream media, the talent level within it continues to plummet. You know, so-called diversity and racial quotas have lowered the standards of everything they do. And, you know, no longer does merit and talent make the determination of who makes the grade. You know, racial quotas and the federal government are making those decisions now. And, you know, these presenters on the mainstream media, you know, their lies become increasingly difficult to watch. I'm sure everyone's noticed that. It's just disgusting to watch. It's hard to take. I only listen to it occasionally just like to watch some enemy war footage to get some intel on what the enemy has planned for us, you know. That's all it's good for. But the more they lie, these mainstream media news commentators, the more loathsome they become. And they can't see it. They don't see what's happening. And pretty soon, guys, I'm telling you, it's going to be like the end of They Live, right? Where someone off camera says, you know, like, hey, you look like shit, right? And then the newscaster is revealed to be a hideous alien. And that's not far away. I can guarantee it. It's already happening. But conversely, you know, things are going to get worse before they get better. And, you know, their intention essentially is to beat us into submission. And I don't want to get all hijackery here. Is that a word? Hijackery. Well, I think so. It's at least on Revolution Radio, it might be. And for, you know, longtime listeners of this network, what I mean is that I don't want to get too doom and gloomy. But there are tough times ahead, guys. Make no mistake about that. It's already baked in the cake, and I don't think there's any way around it, not in the short run. So here we are. We're seeing the biggest onslaught against freedom and this massive push towards, you know, the so-called New World Order. It's the biggest push in our lifetimes, no question about it. And, you know, I'm becoming increasingly convinced that our hidden controllers, they're working from some kind of a secret timeline. And certain goals have to be met within a certain time frame. You know, and, you know, the operatives who are called upon to make this agenda happen, they face certain and serious consequences if they don't produce what they're supposed to produce. So they're working under fear as well. You better believe that. And, you know, here's the thing. I really believe that something else big is coming soon. I think they're going to play another card on us. And something very big. And I think it's coming in the next few months, either directly before or directly after the election. You know, and what that is, you know, I don't know. But I've always been a very intuitive person. You know, I've made many decisions in my life totally based on intuition. And I've been getting this feeling for a while. And to be honest, I just can't seem to shake it. So take that for what it's worth. But, you know, we got to remember this agenda, so much of it is based on fear. And a lot of it really is fear that these oligarchs or the shadowy elite have. They have a fear and they project it onto us. They project this fear onto us. And I think the fear is that one day humanity is going to realize we don't need them and realize that they are parasites who are working from, you know, kind of a hive mind mentality to deliberately destroy and thwart the progress of humanity, you know, both physically and spiritually. So, yeah, we don't need most of these foundations or so-called charitable trusts. You know, they're really just global money laundering operations and pay-to-play operations. You know, we don't need all these NGOs. And, you know, most of the federal government could just disappear overnight and the world would be a much better place. So, you know, these criminals have taken over the government and it's spread across the whole globe like a malignant cancer. And, you know, the power and crimes of these people have gone unchecked for what, generations? And we can only speculate how many generations that's been. And like all criminals, when they're not caught and punished, you know, their behavior, it only gets worse. They only become more bold in what they do. So, you know, this federal government, as it exists today, it is an enemy force right now. Make no mistake about it. So, you know, I don't spend too much time thinking about, you know, hey, the government's going to be reformed and, you know, there's going to be thousands of people arrested and we're going to turn the federal government into something benevolent. You know, I hope that's true, but I don't think so. I don't see any real sign of it. And I think those days have long since passed. So personally, I wouldn't spend too much time thinking about that. So, you know, like take 9/11, for example. None of these criminals were arrested or exposed for, you know, the crimes they committed. And, you know, these are people that are, you know, in the highest levels of the federal government, guys. Let's not forget that. Our government and other people's governments. Yeah. So instead, you know, instead of these criminals facing justice, we have all these wars that were started as the reaction to the terrorists attacking America. But instead, you know, we've got these wars that still go on today with, you know, millions of people killed, countless millions of people displaced from their lives, and just terrible destruction and suffering upon people for no good reason. And, you know, that suffering and destruction's on both sides of the battlefield, man. And for no good reason. But, you know, that's rarely ever talked about. And instead, you know, when I see these ceremonies that they had yesterday for 9/11, you know, we have created sort of a sacred mythology of 9/11, right? Like a religious ceremony. When you watch these things, it's like a church ceremony. And, you know, it's reenacted every year and they say the same stuff. And, you know, I'm not discounting the awful thing that happened that day. But they're only showing one little side of what happened. And now we have a sacred mythology, essentially. And a sacred mythology, you can't question it. You're not allowed to. Yeah, so now nobody was punished for that. And now we're on to Operation Corona, a much bigger terror operation that stretches worldwide. So yeah, no longer is the terror just confined to New York City. It's everywhere now. And, you know, if you go to the beach or eat at a restaurant, you might get COVID and you might die. Well, the truth is, you might die at any moment. It's been that way since the day you were born, right? But we're not, you know, you're not supposed to think about that all the time. You got to live your life and do what you got to do. But now you might be an asymptomatic carrier and kill somebody's grandmother too. Oh, man, what a guilt trip, huh? You're a selfish pig for even thinking of living your life. And so the other thing that I'm really struck by, man, I am absolutely convinced that these fires that have spread across every state along the West Coast, they were deliberately set and they're part of a larger agenda. And that agenda connects directly to COVID. Because isn't it interesting with this outbreak of fires? You know, if you live in one of those areas, now you have to wear a mask, right? Not because of the virus. Oh, no. Now it's because of the smoke. Very real smoke. But the result is the same, isn't it? Wear your mask, slave. and stay at home. You might get burned up in a fire. And that is unless you're forced to evacuate, like so many people have been forced to do. And, you know, in some of these centers, you know, in fact, I think all of them, if you go to an evacuation center, your temperature is checked with one of those guns. You're ID'd, and many people are given ID tags at the centers, sort of like a baby step towards a more permanent kind of ID bracelet, let's say. And, you know, the same thing happened after all those storms that ripped through the Midwest and the Gulf states. They did the same thing to those people. They gave them bracelets, ID bracelets. And I'm sure many of these people are encouraged, well, you better get a COVID test. You never know. We strongly recommend you get a COVID test. So here, let me stick this giant Q-tip up your nose. So yeah, the fires, the climate change, they're connected, right? But we're being told that climate change is the cause of these fires. And never mind the mismanagement of the forest with all the dead brush and dead trees that they're not allowed to collect and get rid of during the off season. No, can't do that. Thanks to the environmentalists, in air quotes, environmentalists. And, you know, of course, now what COVID has helped lower people's carbon footprint, right? Far fewer people traveling, driving, going to work. Much lower carbon footprint. And then I was thinking just about these fires. You know, if they really wanted to permanently stop awful fires like these, a really good first step would be to get a fleet of like maybe 100 C-130s on standby on the West Coast, ready to go 24/7, 365. I mean, if we can send troops to Afghanistan and build schools in Afghanistan, I think we could get 100 or let's say 200 C-130s ready to roll at all times. But instead, you know, there's just a handful of these airplanes working along with helicopters that drop big buckets of water. But it's the C-130s that could really do some serious damage to the fires, especially if you had 100 of them going or 200 of them going. But instead, the fires are, I believe, deliberately set and deliberately prolonged. Yeah. So, and just recently, you know, it was revealed on the media that some of the helicopters for Oregon firefighting, they're in Iraq or Afghanistan. As part of the war effort, which that's convenient, isn't it? And what an awful misuse of resources for the American people. But we're not supposed to think about that. It's all about climate change. It's your fault the fires are going. And, you know, I saw Gavin Newsom talking about this. They interviewed him on one of these news shows, right? And Gavin Newsom saying, yeah, this is all your fault. It's climate change. And he had a big smile on his face while he was talking about the fires. You should watch it. It's amazing. You know, sort of mocking us and telling us surreptitiously that, you know, see what happens when you don't go along with the agenda. You know, you better comply or more is coming. That's kind of what he was saying with that little smirk on his face. Unbelievable that our so-called leaders could be so disconnected from actually trying to do good things for their people. Yeah, so, you know, these fires, they either started by direct energy weapons or satellite lasers. And there's also low-tech methods by which they can do it. You know, they have these incendiary devices that are shaped like golf balls or tennis balls, drop them from airplanes, and they ignite when they make contact with the ground. And that's a technology that definitely exists. And so anyway, with here we got the fires, we got COVID, we got climate change, and just on and on and on. And it started to remind me of the end of the Truman Show movie, right? And remember, like toward the end, you know, Truman's starting to figure out that, you know, he's living in this contrived reality, a reality that's controlled entirely and directed by someone else. In fact, there's an actual director directing the set, right, that he lives on. So he decides to leave the town, right? And he's going to go explore the world. But what happens? As soon as he tries to leave, there's a traffic jam and he can't get out of the city. Well, he gets around that. And then what happens? There's fires. There's forest fires blocking the road. Can't get through, guys. Sorry. Well, he makes it through that. And then what? A nuclear disaster with guys walking around in biohazard suits, right? Remember that? You can't pass. There's a nuclear radiation happening here. We have biohazard suits on, so it's serious. And so then he finally gets past that, and he gets to the bridge to cross, and the bridge is over this river. And of course, he's been told his whole life that, Truman, you're afraid to drive over water. You know it's true because we've told you that your whole life, right? And it's kind of like that, you know. We're at that kind of moment here, you know. You're too afraid to cross that bridge. Don't do it, you know. Stay home. Stay in the reality that we have created for you. It's safer. So yeah, we got the fires, the pandemic, the climate change, lions, tigers, and bears. Yeah, lions, tigers, and bears. Okay, and with that said, I would like to bring on my co-host, Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing well, my friend. Wow, what a remarkable, magnificent overview, big picture, big brain stuff. Well done. Well said.
Well, yeah. So what are your thoughts on this? You know, we had the 9/11 roundtable on your show yesterday with Dr. James Fetzer, Dave Geherty, and Joe Olson. And so what are your thoughts today after contemplating the show and waking up this morning? Well, where's your mind at with all this today, Giuseppe?
I would say one minor correction. There's no T. It's Geherry. And I would say that it's sad to say, but so true, is when I had my first opened my acupuncture clinic in Milwaukee 15 years ago, after I had graduated from my midlife career change to become a doctor of oriental medicine and a acupuncturist and a natural holistic practitioner, I went through a ton of rigmarole and steps to get approved by the VA, the Veterans Administration, to be able to treat veterans. And so the VA was really getting into acupuncture then, but it was such a pain in the rear end to go through all the bureaucratic steps. I finally did it, and I started to treat a lot of Vietnam veterans. They'd get approved for 10 treatments. They just loved it. It helped them so much. Anyway, they never called the government Uncle Sam. They always called it Uncle Sugar. And so Uncle Sugar, you know, for the obvious reason of everybody's getting some sweet taste from the federal largesse. Unfortunately, Uncle Sugar has developed a cancer, a malignancy that is now at stage 4. And that stage 4 is, as the great Henry Ford, a true American patriot, described, the internationalist Jew, the globalist parasite, the kosher sandwich. One slice is the parasitic Wall Street globalist bankers. The other slice is the vile communist Bolsheviks, now led by frontman Yorgi Schwartz, more commonly known as George Soros. So everything, literally everything wrong with this country goes to that malignancy.
Yeah, yeah, and that and just, you know, the centralization of power that's been going on nonstop, really, for the entire 20th century and continues to this day. And it's time to really reconsider having all these centralized powers. It's not right. We need to get back to local everything. That's what I think we got to head towards. And yeah, I just want to give out a quick shout out to the people in the chat room. We got Lily V, Pat Rabbit, Wild Bob, Meow. And Meow is going to start a show here on Revolution Radio very soon.
When's that?
I'm not sure. Soon, though. Oh, cool. Very soon. I don't think there's anything nailed out yet, but we'll keep you posted.
Sweet.
And then we got Snippets, Pete, Rudolph, SJ, Comet, Wall-E, Blasphemous Buddha, Boy Solomon, Boots, Batman, Popsicle Toes, Jer Bear, Hummingbird, Siri Flower, Simply Red, 777, The Jurist, Dirt Engineer, Maced 139, Mr. Rowe. Yeah, Mr. Rowe. And then Hazardous Waste. Okay, haven't heard that one before. So that's about it. Right now, we'll be keeping an eye on the chat room, looking for good comments. So yeah, Giuseppe, this is all so wild. And what do you think about the connections between 9/11, you know, the 19 hijackers? Now we got COVID-19. Seems like someone's trying to get a message across to us, huh?
Well, right, as you've so brilliantly uncovered, and we cut you two of your shows were dealing with the Century of the Self, the brilliant documentary series by the Brit Adam Curtis, talking about how more than a century ago, the globalist parasites, especially those deviants in the Frankfurt School, really figured out, led by Shlomo Freud, to how they could pretty much entrance and mind control the average decent American and the average decent European. And they've honed their techniques remarkably effectively. And now we have to also take into consideration that the so-called secret societies, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, whatever you want to talk about, Watchmen would claim it's the Jesuits. What we have is, in reality, going back 6,000 years to the time of the Sumerians and the Babylonians and the Talmudic Babylonian death cult. That's really who they worship, of a completely evil, other worldly entity, an entity beyond time, beyond space, that is you know, seeking to subvert the divine creator's efforts here on Earth and probably in many other dimensions. And what's so sad is that over the millennia, they've come up with this very ritualized procedures that they follow. They're totally locked into numerology and the symbolism of both numbers and words, and words as in, you know, the what you add up the letter counts to be in the numbers. It's all like a numeric code. And secondly, they always have to somehow hint in advance what's coming. So, for example, in 9/11, for like more than a decade, there was pictures of like David Rockefeller on the cover of some corporate magazine, and his watch was set to 9/11. And on The Simpsons, the many, many references to 9/11, and in The Matrix, Neo's passport is 9/11. There's like, people have done this amazing research, and there's literally hundreds of predictive programming for the 9/11 blood sacrifice of 3,000 innocent souls. And move forward to this COVID scamdemic, And 10 years ago, the Rockefeller Foundation report that laid out four possible scenarios for the future, the worst of which being Operation Lockdown, which is now, if you go to that report and it's on page 17, 18, where it begins to lay out each scenario in detail, you read Operation Lockdown, it's as though on the Truman Show, that's the script we're all living. So they've been planning this a long time simultaneously with the lackey and the Spurg buffoon, Bill Gates, the vaccine messiah, has been putting together his global vaccine empire beginning in 2010. So they've been ramping this up a long time. And interestingly enough, they just some intrepid researcher just discovered that the World Bank had actually paid for in 2017 and 2018, ordering of millions of COVID-19 tests. So this is it's always the same scheme. And it's sad that the great entranced population of the world just doesn't wake up and utilize their greatest weapon, their only weapon, which is numbers. I mean, there's so few of these weaponized minorities, and there's so many of us, and yet we do not band together. Instead, we fall prey to the divide and conquer strategy that splits up who should be fellow soldiers in the war against the satanic globalists. Instead, we hate each other and we war on each other. It's tragic.
Yeah, that's some good points. Absolutely. And, you know, in the chat room, Snippets is making a comment. You were talking about, you know, this predictive programming telling us ahead of time. They have to tell us ahead of time, she says, even if we do not recognize the message or threat. They consider it consent to continue. I think that's very perceptive.
That is perceptive. Well, Snippets is a sharp lady. In fact, she puts up a weekly cavalcade of brilliant political cartoons and musings on the toxic nature of our Truman Show world. And I always check it out. It's that the she ought to get a shorter URL, but I think it's like snippets-snappets.blogspot.com. She should just pay the $8 and get like snipsnap.com or something, so it's easy to do, but still it's great. It's really great.
Yeah. Snippets and slapits.blogspot.com. Yeah, she's a very nice lady and knows a lot, I'll tell you.
Really insightful. Anyway, really insightful.
Yeah. Okay, and also Meow, the newest host here on Revolution Radio, her show is coming on tomorrow, 11 to 12 a.m. on Studio B. So tomorrow, starting at 11 a.m. Cool. So that's cool. Look forward to hearing that. And that's great, man. That's excellent.
The maiden launch. The maiden launch.
The maiden voyage. Okay, yeah, we'll be there listening. Yeah, so I don't know. You know, it really does seem like a Truman Show moment we're in here with fires and all that's missing is a nuclear accident. You know, and the other thing that I was thinking about, you know, I don't like to talk about movies very often, but, you know, the other movie this reminds me of that we're in is, you know, the 1980s Flash Gordon movie with music by Queen. You know, yeah. And the movie is so bad, it's actually kind of good.
It's called campy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, very campy, very campy. And, you know, the opening scene, if you remember, you know, Ming the Merciless is sitting in front of this control panel, and there's all these different buttons on it, right? Colored buttons. And one of them is like, you know, fireballs, and you can push the button, fireballs fall out of the sky. Right. And then there's meteors and ice and hurricanes and tornadoes. And he's like, whoa, just pushing the buttons and like, yes, I have the power to do whatever I want. It seems like we're kind of in that sort of a moment, too.
Well, our Ming the Merciless today, the new one they're just starting to roll out, is none other than the bald Professor Klaus Schwabi. And his entrainment is the Great Reset and the New Normal. And so today now, posted at SGT Report, which is an excellent website, and he was on the Hijacker Roundtable with the great Joe Tones about a month or so ago. And here's the headline: Deutsche Bank's elitists warn. The ruling elites from Deutsche Bank are warning that the, in quotes, age of disorder is coming. If you know anything about those wealthy bankers who pull the strings of the political puppets, you know their desire to control. And that's just it. They are purposely trying to destroy sovereign nations such that they can introduce their new normal, which is a bipolar globalist system. The North Atlantic Union, United States, Canada, Mexico, South America, and then the Sino-Asian Union, which will be China, all the countries, and may or may not include Russia. Russia's pretty intent on remaining independent, but we'll see how that all goes. And then that bipolar globalist control via mandatory vaccinations, via social credit score, via a quantum tattoo from the buffoon Gates that tracks if you're got your up-to-date vaccine, then you're no more physical money, so the digital currency will be tied to your social credit. So if you lip off about these parasites, oops, all your money's gone. Sorry. You better be a good little boy and girl. And then you got to eat the GMO food. We're growing something that tastes like beef, but it's got so much estrogen in it. You're growing a nice pair of man boobs, and you need your bro now to wear a bro. It's just so insidious. It's all so satanic, and pretty much it's on track to happen.
Yeah, pretty soon they'll have the black slime, like in that movie Snowpiercer. You just get a bar of black slime to eat. Right. Yeah. And, you know, that Klaus Schwab guy really is a bizarre character. And I noticed recently that the World Economic Forum is moved back their meeting till I think early next year. And they're going to do the whole meeting virtually. So no personal contact, too dangerous. So that's an interesting thing to note. And, you know, Snippets is saying that Schwab is so vile, he's as evil-looking as his thoughts. You know, that's another great point. It's sort of like the picture of Dorian Gray. You really do manifest who you are and how you look. And the guy looks, he reminds me of Dr. Strangelove. You know, animals can be slaughtered. You know, I mean,
that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Character.
It's awesome. Yeah.
With backlit with blue light for some reason. I don't know why they did that. But
it's weird. Well, probably because that's the blue of Rothschild Israel. That's probably why.
Ah, that's a theory. Yes. So, yeah, it's a very strange moment we're at, but I don't know. There's good things.
One thing, such a point of extremes. You know? You're absolutely right about, and it's coming, is the next chapter in this grand play movie we're living. It's going to be bad, and it's going to create such a fear that the average normie will be in line for 50 miles with their tents and sleeping bags, and just like the Beatles have come back from the dead and are doing a one-time concert, and you want to be there live. That's going to be the lines for the vaccine after they kill a couple million with some type of horrific little bioweapon they've got up their sleeve.
Yeah, and you know, I was watching the PBS NewsHour with Judy Woodruff just to study the enemy plans. And, you know, they had a very strange story that more and more states are turning to the National Guard to help them with the election. And, of course, they start interviewing these different people in military uniforms. And apparently, you know, we need the National Guard now to make the voting happen. And to me, they've been conditioning us to accept, there's this guys with army uniforms walking around on the streets. They're doing this, they're doing that. They're just getting us used to seeing more and more, you know, military people doing civilian functions. And I think this is a sort of acclimation to get us used to a militarized government that's going to be unveiled fairly soon.
I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing is creating the support for the militarized government is the ridiculous donning of the dust masks, and everyone is now such a compliant, obedient slave with their slave training dust mask that if you go into a building, like yesterday, I went to the chiropractor for an adjustment. I was the only one not wearing anything, and all these people were like, "Oh, you could just see the look in their eyes. My God, he's not wearing a mask." And the receptionist put me in a separate room, isolated me, and I even said, "Well, you know, since everybody's wearing a mask, I should be fine." I said it real loud so they could.
Did
all
you
hear.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go over?
Well, typically I'm a pretty big guy, so unless you're really, really out of your mind, you just kind of give me a dirty look. You don't confront me.
All right. That's a good position to be in. I like that.
Yeah. I'm getting to the end of that, the age of lion, but it's still probably good to go for another 5 to 10 years. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting. Are you seeing more masks being worn or less, like in the last month or so where you are?
Oh, Northern Virginia, 11 miles west of the District of Criminals. Sadly, seeing many more than should be, you know. I'm even seeing young people out jogging, like these young, in-shape, college-age women. They've got their tight black shorts, their tight athletic sports tank top, and their matching mask. It just makes me sad. I mean, it's so ridiculous, the inability of the young to think and be able to step back, critically reason. It's really, really pathetic. So, too much
mass. Fear is one hell of a drug, man, and they got people hooked on it right now.
Yeah, it's really true. It is. It's like the working man's adrenochrome. Yep, constant. I can't think of it. When you're under, you may know the word. I should know this. It's right there. It starts with a C. It's in my mind. It's what happens when you're constantly under stress. Cortisol. That's it. You're under constant cortisol release. So then you create adrenal fatigue. And so you're in this loop instead of the endocrine system going from cortisol to the pituitary to the thyroid. I might have flipped that order. That's what happens with a healthy human. You release a little bit fight or flight cortisol, and then you get back to normal with the other endocrine release stages. But what happens is when you're constantly under trauma and fear, you get in a cortisol loop. You never get out of it. And so you're constantly fatigued and you're constantly afraid. And so that's what they're doing to the masses.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is a vicious circle they're trying to keep people stuck in, like a dog chasing its tail. I'm just blown away by this mask thing. And, you know, Lily V in the chat rooms saying it makes her angry when she sees, you know, kids wearing them, makes her want to slap the parents. I agree. It's hard to even calculate the kind of trauma and bizarre reality that these young children are growing up into. They're seeing strange behavior by adults, and it's being normalized because, you know, little kids look to their parents for behavioral cues. And so the effect on these young children is terrible. And we're at the top of the hour already, guys. And next hour, we're going to come on with Jimmy Jean from here on Revolution Radio. Okay, there's the music. Everyone stay tuned for Mr. Jimmy Jean. Okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio, hour number 2. And before we get started up here, I just want to remind everyone that Revolution Radio is listener supported. So come on aboard to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, and become a Patreon member, buy some merchandise, help out however you can. And also, you know, tell your friends about Revolution Radio. Help spread the word and get more people on board. The more the merrier. So that said, I want to bring on our guest for this hour, Mr. Jimmy Jean, who I think is a very unique thinker. He's a deep thinker, and you never know where he's going to take things. And I like that about him. Jimmy, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, good.
Excellent. Well, yeah, I stayed up pretty late last night. We did the show. We did our little 9/11 special last night. We were having some fun there towards the end of the show. We ended up getting staying on after on YouTube, and I was going over this video that I had found of this supposed 32nd degree Freemason who is revealing the upcoming heinous activities you know, that we're about to face. And so, you know, we were kind of listening to it, and, you know, I'd play like 10 minutes of it, and then I was asking the chat if I should keep going, you know. Was it gangster or was it wankster? That's what we were trying to find out.
And what was he revealing? What are the big things that he says are about to unfold before us?
Well, just about every single heinous conspiracy that's out there. I like to call it conspiracy theory Tourette syndrome, where people basically, you know, they get 30 seconds and they spout out every linking conspiracy theory that has to do with anything. So he was talking about asteroids. He was talking about how the George Floyd incident didn't really get the kind of response that they were looking for. So that there's some heinous incident about to happen that will involve people of color to try to inflame the situation that's going on. He started to go into these millions and millions of FEMA burial devices, like these four that hold 40
the
people.
Coffins.
Right, and he was saying that it's not like the videos that you saw from 2006 or whatever. These are millions because they're expecting millions of people to die and this and that. So, anyways, the bottom line, man, is I was just listening to the whole thing, and when I got to the end of it, I'm thinking to myself, so wait a minute. So all I got to do is come out and say that I'm a 32 degree Freemason. There's no way for anybody to prove it. There's no way for anybody to verify it. And then I can just spout out this stuff and say that I'm trying to help humanity. But, you know, I kept waiting for the guy to say, and if you really want to know what's exactly going to happen, you can buy my video for $19.95. This dude sounded exactly like the old Lindsay Williams. You know, Lindsay Williams faded out of the picture, but he was somebody who grifted quite a few dollars off the conspiracy theory people and alternative media simply by coming out.
Yeah, and he claimed that, you know, back in the 1970s, he lived with the elite, so he knows all of their secret plans. Yeah, yeah, he was always selling stuff, too. I'm sure he made a fair amount of money off of it.
Well, the answer to 1984 is 1995, man. You know, that's
yeah, there you go. That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah. So
Giuseppe, why don't you come aboard, man? What do you got for old Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy, I am a 69th degree level Freemason, and I ask you to please respect my magnificent level of secret knowledge.
Well, I will definitely respect it. I always respect my word if I give my word. You know, my word is bond, you know, and I don't need a piece of paper for that. But, you know, the thing about it is that you have a lot of people that do come out and, you know, expose this or that about these secret societies. So don't worry. Your secret's safe with me, my friend.
Oh, thank you. And it's funny. You made such an excellent point a moment ago that there's so much disinformation. You may have been told the complete truth, but it's so polluted with the lies that you won't even know if you're getting the real main line between your toes or just baby laxative. You just don't know.
You just don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, that's really the nature of the beast, though, at this point, because, you know, I think at the beginning of what we call today the alternative media or the truth movement, I think at the beginning of what was going on, you know, I mean, this was super low tech. You had a bunch of these guys, Jim Mars, you know, you had all these older Bill Coopers, you know, all these older Griffin, Webster Tarpley, all these dudes. They used to go around and rent these little conference rooms at hotels and have these conferences where the dudes would show up with their books and their little tapes and their DVDs and the, you know, and there wasn't the internet, you know, and a lot of these guys research, you know, that they did, the original OGs of this, you know, they were actually going down and getting books, and they were actually having, you know, material that they could go by. But, you know, since then, you know, things have transpired and we're at a place where, you know, just about anybody can put out any kind of a video or documentary about whatever they want and, you know, make money off of it or not. And so, you know, the thing is, there's really, I mean, I don't know if you guys can tell me, and I know you have experience, you know, as a journalist, but I mean, there's really, I mean, you hear a lot of finger pointing going on about the mainstream media versus the alternative media, but there's media is media. There's, it's like magic, you know, there's black magic and, you know, there's white magic. I mean, there's good and there's bad or whatever, good and evil. It's the same thing with the media, is that media is media. Magic is magic. You know, it doesn't matter what side of the coin you are. So there's I mean, you even have Sean Hannity calling the other cable news networks the mainstream media. So I mean,
yeah, I know that's hilarious. You can't get much more mainstream than old Sean.
No,
Jimmy, let me ask you, you know, now that, you know, 19 years have passed, where are you in your thinking of 9/11 and what significance does it hold in your mind, you know, in retrospect?
Well, I think it was one of the biggest productions in the history of the world, as far as, you know, running the scenario out in front of the people to cause emotional response and to develop social engineering that would put people in a subservient position, ready to accept whatever comes down the pipe, because there just may be a dirty terrorist around every corner. And you know, for the most part, people really just fell right into it. I mean, you know, everybody did. Lots of people went and signed up. You know, lots of people got patriotic. The country came together. Everybody was hanging their little signs on fences everywhere and burning candles and leaving flowers and all this. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, when you look at it, for example, let's look at a major production to drive the populations in a direction. Another one that we're all familiar with are the moon shots. These moon shots were, you know, presented in a way that could only be described as incredible production at the time that it was done. The shots.
You mean the moon landing? Is that what you mean?
I'm not even talking about the landing. I'm talking about just the hype of the launching of the rockets. The shooting
right,
of the rockets, the slow motion of the rocket going up as the flames are coming out. The lighting's just perfect everywhere. I mean, that set that was built to launch those rockets, the lighting, everything about it. And this was at a time where they were asking the American people to pony up and do everything they could, because we needed to, you know, continue to be the number one purveyor of the world to everybody else, and we needed to be number one. And this basically, you know, caused a rah-rah cheerleader type situation in the public. Got people working harder, got people okay with paying a little bit more for their taxes, because John F. Kennedy asked you to do more for your country. What can you do to help the country? And everybody felt like they wanted to help the country, and everybody jumped in. Whether or not we landed on the moon, whether or not we got on the moon, is irrelevant to mom and pop walking down the street. They ain't ever going to the moon. But them thinking that we went to the moon is enough. And it's the same thing with the 9/11 incident. This is another production. look at the look at the way that this was timed. Okay, the first plane hit. That caused everybody to call up their friends and their moms and their grandmas. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened? No, turn on the TV, man. Turn on the TV. Turn it on, man. Look, look. All of a sudden, everybody's tuned in at the precise moment that those buildings came down in their own footprint, in a pile of dust. And it got played over and over and over and over and over until every single person in the United States of America and possibly around the world were beaten into a pulp of trauma-based, subtle trauma-based mind control, mass trauma-based mind control, to the point where you're willing to give up your freedoms, your rights to catch those dirty terrorists.
Yeah, and go halfway around the world and kill people that you've never met and you know nothing about, but it's time to go blow them up and overturn their entire society.
That's true. You know, and you know, I was bringing this up last night. I think there's a dichotomy here too, because you have all these quote unquote alternative media people that call it an inside job, but they're still on the political paradigm to where they got a lot of negativity, a lot of shit to talk about Muslims and want to go kill Muslims. Yet Muslims have supposedly, you can't have it both ways, man. You know what I mean? The Muslims aren't the enemy if they didn't do 9/11. If you say 9/11 is an inside job, well, who did it then? If it's an inside job and it wasn't Muslims, then why – why do you have a bunch of people in the truth community banging that drum, whipping that horse and shaking that rag doll of fear about Muslims?
Well, yeah, I agree. But I think part of that comes from this intentional replacement level immigration that they're trying to bring about. And it's this resentment from that. But again, they're being used as a tool by someone else to enact an agenda. And this idea that Muslims did 9/11 is pretty silly.
Well, but for the bottom line, for the most people, the majority of people believe the storyline that's put out by the mainstream. And so for the most part, Muslims are the enemy based on 9/11. It has nothing to do with anything else. And so the thing about it is you want to bring up immigration as the reason people don't like people from the Middle East or people that have Muslim inclinations. You know, look back, Scorpio and Giuseppe. Go back and look at the documentary called Evidence of Revision. It's about a six-hour documentary. It goes through all – most of the conspiracy theories that are out there, the mainline ones. It goes into JFK, MLK, RFK, and it also goes into Jim Jones. And what this does is it presents information that was available at the time that it happened, but subsequently has been lost or forgotten. So these are people and things that happened directly when it happened, as it happened. So one of the things is they have this segment on RFK, where they have Sirhan Sirhan under hypnosis, and they're trying to get him to admit that he shot Robert F. Kennedy, which they couldn't do. But also in the course of that, what they were doing was they were trying to say that get him to say the reason that he did it was because of the current Palestinian situation. So they were already creating this boogeyman even way back then. They had a plan that this was going to be the enemy at some point because they needed to use the production of 9/11 or something like it. Previously, we had the bombing at the trade centers that didn't happen. Also, the Patriot Act was alive and ready to go during the Oklahoma City bombing. It was championed by Tom Daschle and Joe Biden. It was called the Omnibus Bill.
Right.
This bill didn't get passed, but it parts of it did, had to do with, terrorism and different parts of it, different legal aspects. But the bottom line is it was ready to go back then. And it was funny because when 9/11 happened, Tom Daschle was the guy that came out and said that that you don't want the Patriot Act because it's going to be like a police state. And he's somebody who should know. And then he got delivered a little bit of anthrax. You know, that was traced back to.
Oh, yeah. The anthrax. Yeah.
Well, so Tom Daschle was a Democrat pushing this Patriot Act through when Bill Clinton was president, when George Bush was president, pushing the same type of draconian measures through. Daschle stood up and told everybody how bad it was because he knew already how bad it was because he was trying to push it through. And then when he came out and tried to expose it, they doled him out a little bit of anthrax. Same thing with the National Enquirer when they were bringing out pieces and stories about what was going on around this 9/11 event. They also got delivered a little bit of anthrax. So when the Bush cabal came in with this whole situation with the Project for a New American Century, and they brought in the whole crew, every single person on the Project for a New American Century, the writing of it and the think tanking was basically in the Bush administration.
Well, Jimmy, they were dual citizen neoconservative traitors, and they were ramping it up. And it's interesting, if you recall, within moments of the attacks on the Twin Towers, the mainstream corporate media, also completely controlled by globalist Zionists, started claiming that the Palestinians are taking credit for this attack. And so, I mean, there's so much proof of who was actually behind 9/11, which was, Israel, the Mossad, rogue elements of the CIA, and traitors within government, such as Donkey Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, and all those dual citizen neocons. So it's fascinating. And I want to get back to an earlier point you made, which is really interesting. The average normie, you pretty much, I'm summing up, just sees the media as the media, and they don't differentiate. But you know what they do, because that now they're told that it's a conspiracy. And to me, the only truth you get nowadays is from a conspiracy presenter who is not a shill. That's your only truth. Otherwise, if you believe the mainstream media, you're just chugging down nothing but a heaping glass of lies.
You know, maybe so. You're definitely seeing infomercials. Hang on a second. You're definitely seeing infomercials. So for example, mainstream media, they come out, say, for example, you're talking, let's just talk CNN. So, hey, CNN, I'm Joe Blow from Political Party A. We got a budget here of about $60 million. And what we want to do is we want to promote gun control. So what we want you to do is we want you to put together we've got a list of things here. We want you to put together some stories around this. If anything comes up in the next 12 months gun-related, we really would like you to sort of angle XYZ. So, I mean – whether or not it's a guy selling you a device or some miracle cleaning solution on a late night infomercial, that guy's paying them for minutes of use to put his product in front of your eyeball. And it's the same thing with the news. News is packaged specifically for people and to, you know, socially, you know, use as a social engineering tool. So the bottom line is Joe Blow and mom and pop, you know, they're watching the news at 11 o'clock or whatever. You know, they're watching the 30-minute news or whatever they're doing. They're dozing off and they're falling asleep. And, you know, they're living their lives and they're going on with their lives. So, I mean, you know, as far as truth in the alternative media, man, dude. You know, if you're thinking that there's some bastion of truth, that there's some, I mean, how would you discern who's telling the truth and who isn't?
Well, you have to independently verify at least two sources, and you don't get you. Everything is opinion, especially in the alternative media, you know. But there are some really good intrepid researchers. For example, John Rappaport's doing a great job over the years exposing the big pharma criminal syndicate and the vaccine scams. And there's plenty of other people who are legit muckraking journalists who are revealing what's going on. For example, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, 40 years, former MD, used to run an emergency room and got to see all these destruction doing to these babies and these little kids, turning them into autistic zombies. And for 40 years, she's been reading the actual lying studies of a big pharma and exposing the flaws. I mean, we can go on and on. There's plenty of truth out there. So I think,
well, yeah, I mean, there's plenty. You're 100% correct, bro. There is plenty of truth out there. But the thing is that there's 300 million podcasts worldwide. So, I mean, I spend a lot of time on social engineering, and I spend a lot of time trying to, you know, shine a light on a lot of this, and I try to demystify what's going on, because a lot of what everybody sees is straight marketing, plain and simple. Period. You know, I mean, you don't even have to find. You don't even have to find nefarious characters hiding behind there, pulling the strings, causing your life to be screwed up. You know, what you need to do is observe the situation and act accordingly, because, you know, when something goes down on the street, you move quickly to try to, you know, avoid the situation or to try to get out of it. And so the thing about it is here, I know you want to jump in, Dave, just a second. The thing about this alternative media, and it's just like I brought this up before, I was in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time. I stayed sober for 25 years. So I drank. until the mid '80s. I quit. I stayed sober for 25 years. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, you know, every single day, for a long, 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 long time. Okay, and so I want to tell you one of the mistakes that I made is that when you come into this program, the thing about it is you're getting sober, you're on this pink cloud, everybody's got a religious sort of tone to them, you know, they've got a higher power greater than themselves. The whole thing that helps keep you sober is that you're honest and all this. And so everybody, you know, proposes that they're honest. But the bottom line is bullshit. They're just like everybody else in there. I mean, yeah, there's some honest people, but the thing about it is people are people, right? So the alternative media is a sort of it's sort of like a garage band in a way, because it's people that weren't able to actually get or break through into the mainstream for whatever reason. Let's just say it was gatekeepers and they had the truth, and so they were keeping them out. So what happened is the alternative media formed. So you don't need anything to become somebody on the internet. I don't need anything. So it's one giant mockingbird in the echo chamber type situation. The original purveyors of whatever information is out there. But, you know, you got to really take a look at postmodern deconstructionism, because that's what this is. And in postmodern deconstructionism, the truth is subjective. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why they want to sort of undo traditional morality, because then everything is objective. You know, it's like, hey, if you happen to like little kids, well, hey, man, that's your trip and it's cool. And, you know, I think they're trying to edge society towards that kind of thinking.
I'll show you.
I think we're at the bottom of the hour break here.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. I got something for you. I'll hang on to
it. Okay, go ahead.
No.
Oh, here we go. Okay, we'll be right back, guys. Hold on to that thought, Jimmy. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio. I'm here with Giuseppe and Jimmy Jean, and we were just talking about moral relativism, and we're at Leeds. And, you know, what I see from the whole thing, Jimmy, is that moral relativism essentially leads people away from any kind of objective standard of behavior. And, you know, as far as spirituality goes or God, you know, each man has to walk that path alone. But if you study the great works of philosophy and religion, it seems that mankind, the great thinkers of mankind, have come to similar conclusions about what good behavior is and what a good way to live a moral life is. And so with moral relativism, you remove all of that. You remove any idea that there's a higher power out there beyond government, and government becomes God, and that's what they're trying to create, I believe. Jimmy, you're muted. Okay, well, Giuseppe. Oh, no, here we go. Jimmy, go ahead.
I know I was muted for some reason. My mouse wasn't scooting over there to get off it. I mean, you're 100%, you know, it's a brilliant discovery there. On that, because, you know, the thing about it is all relative, and it's relative to whatever political ideology you happen to find yourself in. Because what there is there, I mean, are you guys familiar with something that's called an agreement reality? Are you guys familiar with that term?
Yeah, generally, yes.
I am.
Okay, well, have you been to Landmark Communication course, either one of you?
Yes, you mean the forum?
Yes.
Yes, I have actually.
So have I.
And I've been from a friend that went through the original ESP training back when it was really hardcore. But yes.
Okay, I've done a bunch of shows on ESP and the Big Sur connection to Stanford Research Institute, and how the exact social engineering that was learned in the early days of ESP. With the aversion therapy and these different things that went on up at Big Sur, at a place called Esalon Institute. But I went to I went to Landmark Communications, I went to the forum, and I went to the advanced course also. And then I was
involved. Me too. I did both of those. Yeah, that's funny. I didn't know that. That's quite an experience to go through.
It is quite an experience to go through. And, you know, I got to say, for the most part, what you learn in there is not bad. Being about your word, having integrity, all these things. But there's no doubt that is mind shaping and mind control that goes on there. And the thing about it is a lot of people just end up staying there. But anyways, in that program, ladies and gentlemen, you learn about something that's called an agreement reality. So let's say that you're in a relationship, you have a significant other, you have a job, your significant other has a job, but each of you come home to your house every day. Your significant other has habits that you don't like. There's a bunch of things that go on, and within your little place of residence there, you have what's called an agreement reality. You ignore your partner's this or that. And pretend that it's not there, and they do the same thing, and in that, then you have what's called an agreement reality. So what you find in the truth movement, in the media in general, is that you'll find that there are these filter bubbles that are created, and these agreement realities that exist, and through and via the social engineering that's gone on, they've been able to profile quite just about everybody. So everybody fits into a specific chute. And so once it's clicking, it's eliminated down, yes or no, yes or no. You're provided with two choices, and you don't choose this one, you choose that one. And every time you keep choosing one of those choices, it keeps narrowing you down into a smaller and smaller and smaller place until you can only exist in one place. You make that last click, boom, you're over there in the Alex Jones agreement reality filter bubble. See, that's how that works. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be.
I like that. The Alex Jones bubble. Yeah, that's good.
You don't have to. Alex doesn't have to be the one, though. It could be Rush Limbaugh. It could be Sean Hannity. It could be whatever seductive character that fits into your particular personality type. Whatever you could be seduced by in your particular personality type, there's certain archetypes that will appeal to you, a certain way of delivering information to you that will make you resonate with it and think it's the truth. The thing is when you're disseminating the truth, somebody's out there with some good information. They say a bunch of stuff. It all lines up. It harmonizes with just what you think. And you say to yourself, you know, man, this really sounds like the truth, man. This is the truth. This is the truth. But then the thing about it is you didn't hear anything from anybody else. You only heard from somebody who resonates with what you think. But the problem with that is that you're basing your idea or your harmonization with this truth on a narrow band of limited information. You're not a scientist. I'm not a scientist. Every time I do a show about something, I have to learn about the subject matter. But that doesn't make me an expert on the subject matter. When shows come out about a subject, there's shows upon shows all across the face of the internet. Everybody's talking. Turns into one giant echo chamber of the same information. Well, man, if the original formula was flawed, then every single thing after that is bullshit.
Yep, so if you're not looking, well, that's not true at all. I mean, humans are flawed, and you're going to say just because someone was deceived or misinterpreted, everything else is bullshit? That's not accurate.
That's not what I said. I said if the formula is flawed in the beginning, everything after that's bullshit. If 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, and you keep saying it does, and everybody else builds their theory off your 1 + 1 = 2, it's all bullshit. Okay, I'm not saying that people aren't telling the truth, Giuseppe. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you're going to go out there and get scientific, or you're going to go out there and profess to tell somebody about how they should be in a situation, then what I'm saying is when you're basing that off a limited band of information, when you don't have the other side of the story, when you don't put both sides of the story and weigh it and discern it, then how can you find the truth, man? I mean, just because I tell you something and it sounds good to you and it resonates with you and the information lines up, is that the truth? I'm asking you. I mean, that's not the truth, is it?
No, I get what you're saying. Well, anyone who's a true critical thinker who understands wisdom is gained by experience and the pursuit of knowledge, you should never trust anyone, no matter how good they sound, because ultimately it's all opinion. And so that's what the wonderful phrase trust but verify comes from. And so
herein lies the problem, Giuseppe, because the thing is we in the alternative media, we happen to be around a lot of really smart people. There are so many smart people here in the alternative media that we take for granted that everybody is that smart. We take for granted that everybody is a person that can discern information. And the fact of the matter is, most people that listen to the mainstream media are not trying to discern information. They're
consuming. Jimmy, you know, I agree with what you're saying, and you know what it comes down to is, for me, you always have to remain a student, you have to also say, well, you know, as you get new information, you have to be willing to consider, well, you know, I was completely wrong about that. I need to retake my position. If you don't do that, you just become a dogmatist, and you're not really on a quest to learn how the world really works. You know, that's the way I see it.
Well, also everybody, so, you know, Giuseppe and yourself and myself, we're people that like to really investigate and find out what the hell's going on. You know, we're people like that. So, you know, in a given, you know, playing field, we're the kind of people that would probably gravitate towards going and becoming a journalist or going in some educational path that would allow us to be journalists and you know, give us the credentials that we need. But for the most part, the general public is not looking to be journalists. They're not looking to research, man. They want 30 minutes, okay? They want 10 minutes of local news. They want 10 minutes of world news. They want to know about sports. They want to know about the weather, and then they want to fall asleep to Jimmy Kimmel. So the vast
that is
the vast majority of the population. So we're over here in this agreement reality called the alternative media, and within that there's all these little filter bubbles, all these little groups, and all these little groups are fighting about each other, and each group thinks that their theory is the right one. So in other words, jack shit has been done about 9/11. 20 years later, what happened? Nothing. It's an inside job. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So anyways, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. It's an inside job. Oh, really? Okay, but it's 20 years later, man. Thing is, man, all that talking, nothing happened. And you know what? It got to the point where it wasn't enough to just talk about it and show how that – show all the facts about it. Then it got even better. Then it was, well, hold on there, buddy. Hey, man, it's not thermite. It's a nuclear bomb. No, sorry. It's a DEW. Man, you know it was so funny? When Jesse Ventura went on air and started to back Judy's book about directed energy weapon on Alex Jones, and he got – see you later, dude. Alex Jones wanted nothing to do with promoting Judy Wood's book about the directed energy weapons. He wanted to stay away from that. It was a hot rail of death for him because he had already.
No, there's several subjects that he won't touch. That's just one of them. I know. Because he's required to stay within certain parameters to be Alex Jones. You don't just get to be Alex Jones and say whatever you want to say.
It was a DEW, McMahon.
Well, you know, the thing about it is you're 100% correct. I mean, if you look at that organization and you look up an organization called Palantir, and then you take a look at what Palantir does and find out that, oh, well, there's something going on there. When you find out that, you know, you look at Bill Cooper, who was the original person putting out information, and you see this other person all materialize after Bill Cooper's gone, who happens to take over in a lot of ways the same way that Bill Cooper, only he's not talking about some of the stuff. So the thing about it is,
absolutely.
Man,
and don't forget, too, that, you know, Alex Jones called into Bill Cooper's show and then proceeded to trash Bill Cooper on his show. And, you know, it was an operation on Jones from the very beginning. And look at Cooper. Cooper had better information than Alex Jones could ever touch. And look what happened to him. He never became famous. He never got rich.
The thing about it is what you see is this is this is a perfect example. And my show is called Into the Microcosm. So let's use this as a microcosm because this is a perfect example. This is exactly how we are socially engineered, because something like a Bill Cooper will happen organically. Okay, Bill Cooper starts to get traction. There's a lot of things about Bill Cooper that are good. They, you know, all of a sudden, the eyes become on this Bill Cooper character. They see the things about the Bill Cooper character that they like. They want to take that character and they want to use it for their own benefit. So what they do is they take what they learn off of this original that was an original, they take it and then they jump into it. They put out their seductive character and then they sit behind and control that. I'll give you another example of what I'm talking about. So when hip hop first came out and Public Enemy was making music, Public Enemy was highly political. Public Enemy was actually getting the black community to take a look at Malcolm X. Public Enemy was really an organic thing that was happening. They were doing things that no one had ever done before. What they did was they went after Professor Griff, accused him of being an anti-Semite, destroyed Public Enemy as a band and as a political force, and brought in Dr. Dre and Bitches and Hoes. So MTV took what they saw that was born organically. They take it, they put their own thing on it, and then it becomes the mechanism to which they use
Well, yeah. They weaponize it. That's what you're saying, essentially. They take something, then they weaponize it.
They weaponize it or they make money off of it. And that's the same. Weaponizing and or making both. Money off of it is the same thing. It's the same thing. Because now what you see is, how much time do we have? Am I going to be with you after the top of the hour?